explained, Chapter 14, Two-Factor Analysis of Variance Without Replication and Nested Analysis of Variance. I'm not going to read that whole thing in a terrible Scottish accent, but that was fun. 14.1, Introduction. This chapter describes two slightly more complex ANOVA models often used by Earth scientists, but an understanding of these is not essential if you are reading this book as an introduction to geostatistics. If, however, you need to use more complex analyses, then the explanations given here for two-factor ANOVA without replication and nested ANOVA are straightforward extensions of the pictorial descriptions in chapters 10 and 12 and will help with many of the ANOVA models used to analyze more complex designs. 14.2. Two-factor ANOVA without replication. This is a special case of the two-factor ANOVA described in Chapter 12. Sometimes an orthogonal experiment with two independent factors has to be done without replication because there's a shortage of sampling units or the experimental treatments are very expensive. Paleo. This simplest case of ANOVA without replication is a two-factor design. You cannot do a single-factor ANOVA without replication. Here's an example of a two-factor design without replication. Oil geologists drill cores to determine the extent of an oil-rich shale deposit. Time and financial constraints usually mean only one core is taken every kilometer or so away from the suspected location of the deposit. Often oil content also varies with depth, and these data are extremely important for evaluation of the oil field, but you can only afford to log a few sections at specific depths of each core. Therefore, a design where only one core is taken every kilometer is orthogonal, but unreplicated. Figure 14.1. And care must be taken to avoid confusing variation with each core with any variation among drill holes at different locations. An analogous situation is also frequently encountered in environmental geochemistry, where cores are often drilled at different distances from hazardous waste sites to assess the extent and depth of contamination. Another example is given in Table 14.1, which shows data for an experiment to test the effects of pressure and temperature on the growth of feldspar crystals. Pressures of 50 and 100 megapascals were being evaluated, together with a control treatment, 0.1 megapascals, which is ambient room temperature, pressure, for their effect in combination with three different temperatures. The experiments are difficult and time-consuming, so only one replicate at each of these nine combinations of temperature and pressure could be run, giving a two-factor orthogonal design without replication. This causes a problem. There's no way to directly estimate error from the dispersion of replicates around their respective cell means, as was done for the single-factor ANOVA in Chapter 10 and a two-factor ANOVA with replication in Chapter 12, because there is only one value in each treatment combination, which will always be the same as cell mean. A two-factor ANOVA without replication uses a different way of estimating error, which has to assume there's no interaction between the factors. Figures 14.2 to 14.5 give a pictorial example of how a two-factor ANOVA without replication estimates three sources of variation and uses these to isolate the effects of the two factors. The data in Table 14.1 are graphed in Figure 14.2. First, the total variation within the experiment is estimated. Each point will be displaced from the grand mean by the effects of factor A, factor B, any interaction, and error. These distances can be squared and summed to give the sum of squares for the total variation in the experiment, with degrees of freedom that are one less than the number of experimental subjects. Second, the effect of factor A is estimated by ignoring factor B and calculating a new mean for each of the levels within factor A. The displacement of each treatment mean from the grand mean will be caused by the average effect of factor A plus error, figure 14.4. Each of these displacements is squared, multiplied by the number of replicates within each treatment, and added together to give the sum of squares for factor A. The number of degrees of freedom is one less than the number of treatments. And dividing the sum of squares by this value will give the mean square for factor A. Finally, the effect of factor B is estimated by ignoring factor A and calculating a new mean for each treatment level of factor B. The displacement of each treatment mean from the grand mean will be caused by the effect of factor B plus error, figure 14.5. Here, too, displacements are squared, multiplied by the number of replicates within each treatment, and then added together to give the sum of squares for factor B. The number of degrees of freedom is one less than the number of treatments, and dividing by this value will give the mean square for factor B. At this stage, you have estimates for following sources of variation. A, the total variation in the experiment, the combined effects of factor A, factor B, A times B, and error, figure 14.3. B, the effects of factor A, pressure plus error, figure 14.4. And C, the effects of factor B, temperature plus error, figure 14.5. Because there's only one replicate within each treatment combination, there is no way to separately estimate error. Therefore, unlike a two-factor ANOVA without replication, it is not possible to estimate the sum of squares for the effect of any interaction by subtracting the sums of squares for factor A, factor B, and error from the total variation. Two-factor ANOVA without replication does the next best thing. The sum of squares and degrees of freedom in an ANOVA are additive. E.g., in Chapter 10, it was explained how the total sum of squares and total degrees of freedom in a single-factor ANOVA were the sums for those for the sums of squares for factor A and for error. Therefore, by subtracting the sums of squares for factor A plus factor B from the total variation, you are left with the sum of squares for the remaining variation in the experiment, which will include error and effect of interaction. This sum of squares, which is the only possible estimate of error, is divided by the remaining degrees of freedom to give the best available estimate of the mean square for error. If there is an interaction, the mean square will be inflated, but this is unavoidable and undetectable if you do a two-factor ANOVA without replication. The results of a two-factor ANOVA without replication will include the sums of squares and the mean squares for factor A, factor B, and error, together with the F ratios and probabilities for factors A and B. For the example given above, the results of the analysis are in Table 14.2. Table 14.1, the length of feldspar pheochrists in micrometers for a crystallization experiment with 9 different combinations of pressure and temperature. All replicates were initially identical compositions. Only one replicate is available for each combination of the two treatments. Figure 14.1. When only one core is taken at each location and only one log, or sampling unit, is available at each depth, represented by dark squares, the sampling design is orthogonal but unreplicated because only one data is available for each combination of drill hole and depth. Figure 14.2. Feldspar phenocryst size in crystallization experiments for 9 combinations of 3 different pressures and temperatures. There is only one replicate within each treatment combination. The length of each crystal is shown as a symbol, diamond equals 700 degrees Celsius, circle equals 800 degrees Celsius, and square equals 900 degrees Celsius. The heavy horizontal line shows the grand mean, and the 9 shorter lines show each mean. Figure 14.3. The total variation within the feldspar crystallization experiment. The heavy horizontal line indicates the grand mean, and the 9 shorter horizontal lines indicate each cell mean. The displacement of each point from the grand mean, arrows, will be caused by the total variation within the experiment. Figure 14.4. Estimation of the effect of factor A. The displacement of each treatment mean from the grand mean, arrows, will be caused by the effect of factor A. Here, pressure plus error. Figure 14.5. Estimation of the effect of factor B. The displacement of each treatment mean from the grand mean, arrows, will be caused by the effect of factor B. Here, temperature plus error. Table 14.2. Results of a two-factor ANOVA without replication on the data in Table 14.1. There's a significant effect of temperature, but no significant effect of pressure on the growth of feldspar phenocrysts. 14.3. A posteriori comparison of means after a two-factor ANOVA without replication. If a two-factor ANOVA without replication shows a significant effect of fixed treatment factor, e.g., the 3 temperatures that are specifically compared in section 14.2, then you are likely to want to know which treatments appear to be from the same or different populations. The procedure for an a posteriori testing is a modification of the formula for a single factor ANOVA, except that, because there is no directly estimated value for error, the MS error for interaction plus error, estimated by subtraction, is used as the best estimate of this. For a Tukey test, each factor is examined separately using the formula Q equals XA minus XB over SEM, with the standard error of the mean estimated from the square root of ms error divided by n, where the ms error is the one calculated by subtraction in the ANOVA table, see table 14.2, and n is the number of data within each group. For example, there are three values within each of the pressures when temperature is ignored, and vice versa. 14.4, randomized blocks. Experiments done in environments where there is considerable spatial variation, e.g. a 20-acre mining lease, have to be replicated, but often spatial variation is so great that it may obscure any effect of treatment if the replicates were simply assigned at random within that area. One solution is to distribute replicates of each treatment fairly evenly across a landscape. This is often done by setting out a two-dimensional array with the area subdivided into little strips called blocks, with every treatment represented in each. Often, only one replicate is available in each block, but these data can be analyzed as a two-factor ANOVA without replication, with blocks as a random factor and treatments as a fixed or random factor. This is called randomized block design and gives a way of separating the effects of location and treatment. Here's an example. Pearls, which consist mainly of calcium carbonate, are usually grown by placing oysters in fine mesh catch bags attached to chains hanging down at regular intervals from a series of taut horizontal subsurface long lines running parallel to each other. Figure 14.6a. An aquacultural scientist hypothesized that removal of marine parasites from the oysters would increase the proportion that produced marketable pearls. Unfortunately, the factors, including water depth and temperature, wind exposure, light levels, turbidity, and tidal currents, may vary from chain to chain and long line to long line. If you simply used an experimental design with replicates of each anti-parasite treatment allocated at random to the array, you are likely to get a lot of variation among replicates of the same treatment. For a randomized block design, set five parallel long lines, called blocks 1.5. A set of five parallel long lines, called blocks 1 through 5, was established. Four bags, each containing 100 oysters, were suspended at regular intervals from every long line, and one replicate of the four treatments was assigned at random within each. After 6 months, the number of oysters with pearls was counted in every bag, thus giving only a single value at each point in the array. Figure 14.6b. The results from this design can be analyzed as a two-factor ANOVA without replication, using treatments as the first factor and blocks as the second, thereby subdividing the variation into two components in order to isolate the effect of treatment from any spatial variation. Wow, that actually sounds really useful. Figure 14.6. A randomized block design. A. Aerial view of a typical rectangular array used to grow pearl oysters. Five horizontal long lines are run parallel to each other, and bags of 100 oysters are suspended from four chains at regular intervals to the long lines. B. Representation of the array shown in A as a 5-block-by-4-column grid. One replicate of each treatment, A through D, is assigned at random to a bag within each long line block. 14.5. Nested ANOVA as a special case of a single-factor ANOVA. An experimental design that compares the means of two or more levels of the same factor, e.g. different levels of salinity or different compositions, can be analyzed by a single-factor ANOVA as described in Chapter 10. Sometimes, however, researchers do an experiment with two or more levels of a particular factor, but also have two or more subgroups nested within each level. Here's an example from the contaminated landfill first mentioned in Chapter 2. The idea is that mixing heavy metal contaminated soils with apatite group minerals will make the metals bind with the apatite instead of the soil, thereby preventing them from leaching into groundwater. Large-scale experiments in hazardous waste remediation are often constrained by the number of test sites available to the researcher. For example, only 9 large test plots at different sites within a municipality were available for an investigation of the effects of chlorapatite versus fluorapatite treatments on the lead content of groundwater runoff from each site. 3 plots were allocated at random for each of these 2 mineral treatments, and the remaining 3 plots were used as a control. After 6 months, a sample containing 12 replicates of groundwater runoff from each area was analyzed for lead content. This is called a nested or hierarchical design. 3 plots are nested within each treatment. Figure 14.7. Figure 14.7. Example of a nested or hierarchical design. There are 3 different treatments, and 3 treatments are nested within each treatment. 3 plots are nested within each treatment. Open boxes indicate the control, no apatite treatment. Gray boxes indicate treatment with 1 chlorapatite and Black Box's treatment 2, Fluorapatite. This design is not appropriate for analysis using a single factor ANOVA with type of treatment, the apatites as a factor, and the response within each treatment as the number of replicates, because this ignores the presence of the plots and may contribute to the variation within the experiment. You may also be thinking that the design appears pseudo-replicated, in that the real level of replication within each treatment is the number of plots, rather than the 12 water replicates taken from each plot. This is true, and the nested analysis described below takes this into account. This design is also unsuitable for analysis as a two-factor ANOVA, with the mineral treatment as the first factor and plots as the second, because the three plots are simply random subgroups nested within each treatment, which do not intentionally contain different treatment levels of a second factor. For example, the first plot in treatment 1 does not share an exclusive property with the first plots in treatments 2 and 3, Table 14.3. A hierarchical design should not be analyzed as an independent factor design. A. Correct hierarchical plan for the nested experiment design described in Figure 14.7, and B. Incorrect orthogonal two-factor plan because the plots do not contain different levels of a second factor. When one factor, e.g. factor B, is nested within another, e.g. factor A, it is often written as factor B parentheses factor A. For the nested design above, where factor A is the type of apatite used for the treatment and factor B is the plots, the following will contribute to the lead content of the groundwater. Lead in groundwater equals factor A plus factor B parentheses factor A plus error. This is the same as equation 10.1 for a single factor ANOVA, apart from an additional source of variation from the plots nested within each type of apatite treatment. There's no interaction term because the design is not orthogonal. A nested ANOVA isolates the effects of treatments and subgroups within those treatments and gives an F ratio for both factors. 14.6, a pictorial explanation of a nested ANOVA. For simplicity, the following example has two treatments and two plots nested within each treatment, with only four groundwater replicates measured in each plot. The data are in Table 14.4. The type of treatment, chlorapatite versus fluorapatite, is factor A, and the plots are factor B, parentheses A. Figure 14.8 shows the data for each of the four groups in Table 14.4 graphed as four separate cells, including each cell mean and the grand mean. Table 14.4, data for the lead content in parts per million of groundwater tested 3 months after treatment with A, chlorapatite, and B, fluorapatite. Two plots are nested within each treatment. Figure 14.8, arrows show the displacement of each replicate from its cell mean, which is the variation due to error only. The number of degrees of freedom is the sum of one less than the number within each of the cells. In this example, there are 12 degrees of freedom. First, error is estimated. The value for each replicate is displaced from its cell mean by error only, figure 14.8. The sum of squares for error is obtained by squaring each displacement and then adding these together. This quantity is divided by the appropriate degrees of freedom, the sum of one less than the number of replicates within each of the cells, to give the mean square for error. Second, the subgroups, in this case the plots, are ignored, and new means are calculated by combining all of the replicates within each treatment, in this case the type of apatite used, figure 14.9. This will give the effective treatment, but for a nested ANOVA, each treatment mean will be displaced from the grand mean because of the effect of treatment plus the subgroups nested within each treatment plus error. This seems inconsistent with the explanation given for an orthogonal two-factor ANOVA where ignoring a factor, e.g. factor B, removed it as a source of variation, allowing the effect of the other, factor A, to be estimated. For a two-factor orthogonal design, all levels of factor A are present within every level of factor B and vice versa. Each of the two factors can be ignored in turn, and the effect of each factor separately estimated. For a nested design, however, the effects of factor B, the subgroups, cannot be excluded in this way because different subgroups, here different plots, are present and may contribute to very different amounts of variation within each of the levels of factor A. The displacements of each treatment mean from the grand mean are squared, multiplied by the number of replicates within their respective treatment, and added together to give the sum of squares for factor A, which will include treatment plus subgroups, parentheses treatment, plus error. The number of degrees of freedom is one less than the number of treatments, and dividing the sum of squares by this number will give the mean square for factor A, i.e. treatment plus subgroups, parentheses treatment, plus error. Third, a mean is also calculated for the base, for factor B, parentheses A. It looked to my brain like factor BA was Bayes' factor. Oof. Which is the variation contributed by each subgroup, in this case, each plot, figure 14.10. Each subgroup mean will only be displaced from its respective treatment mean by the effect of subgroups plus error. The displacements are squared, multiplied by the number of replicates within their respective subgroups, and added together to give the factor B, parentheses A, sum of squares. The number of degrees of freedom will be the sum of one less than the number of subgroups within each treatment. Dividing the sum of squares by this number will give the mean square for factor B, parentheses A, i.e. subgroups plus error. The procedure shown in figures 14.8 to 14.10 give three separate sums of squares and mean squares. A, factor A, treatment plus subgroups, parentheses treatment, plus error, figure 14.9. B, factor B, parentheses A, subgroups, parentheses treatment, plus error, figure 14.10. And C, error, figure 14.8. And no other mean squares are needed to isolate the effects of the treatments from the subgroups nested within each treatment. First, to isolate the effect of treatment only, the MS for treatment plus subgroups, parentheses treatment plus error, is divided by the MS for subgroups, parentheses treatment plus error. Second, to isolate the variation due to subgroups, parentheses treatment, the MS for subgroups, parentheses treatment plus error, is divided by the MS error, table 14.5. In the example shown in figures 14.8 to 14.10, the F ratio for the effect of factor A will have only 1 and 2 degrees of freedom, despite the fact that the experiment used 16 measurements of lead in groundwater. This is appropriate because the level of replication for this comparison is plots rather than the groundwater replicates taken from within each plot. Most statistical packages will do a nested ANOVA, and the results will be in a similar format to table 14.6, which gives the results for the data in table 14.4. If the treatment is fixed and significant, you are likely to want to carry out an a posteriori testing to examine which treatments are significantly different. The Tukey test, equation 14.1, can be used, but when comparing among treatments, the appropriate, quote, MS error, unquote, to use in equation 14.3 is the MS for subgroups, parentheses treatments, instead of the error. We suggest you use a more advanced text if you need to do a posteriori testing after a nested ANOVA. This example is the simplest case of a nested or hierarchical design. More complex designs can include several levels of nesting, and nested factors in combination with two and higher factor ANOVAs. If you need to use more complex designs, it is important to read an advanced text or talk to a statistician before doing the experiment. Figure 14.8. Arrows show the displacement of each replicate from its cell mean, which is the variation due to error only. The number of degrees of freedom is the sum of one less than the number within each of the cells. In this case, there are 12 degrees of freedom. Figure 14.9. Estimation of the effects of factor A, treatment. The displacement of each combined treatment mean for factor A from the grand mean shown by the arrows is caused by the average effects of that treatment, plus plots nested within each treatment plus error. The number of degrees of freedom will be one less than the number of treatments. So in this example, with two treatments, there is 1 degree of freedom. Figure 14.10. Estimation of the effect of factor B of A, which is B parentheses A. I probably should have been saying it is factor B of A this whole time. The displacement of each cell from its treatment mean is shown by each arrow and is caused by the average effect of that subgroup, each plot plus error. The number of degrees of freedom will be the sum of one less than the number of plots within each treatment. In this example, there are 2 degrees of freedom. 14.7. A final comment on ANOVA. This book is only an introduction. Even though this book has 5 chapters about analysis of variance, it is only an introduction to an enormous and diverse topic. There are far more complex ANOVA models, including those for analyzing repeated measures on the same experimental or sampling unit over time, several variables measured on the same unit, and designs with several factors that include nesting. Hopefully, the introduction developed here will make it easier for you to understand more complex designs described in advanced texts. 14.8. Questions. The table below gives the concentration of total polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, in 3 benthic sediment cores taken at 3 kilometers, 2 kilometers, and 1 kilometer from an oil refinery situated on the edge of an estuary. A. Analyze the data as a 2-factor ANOVA without replication, using depth and distance as factors. Is there a significant effect on distance? Is there a significant effect of depth in the sediment? B. The marine geoscientist who collected these data mistakenly analyzed them using a single-factor ANOVA comparing the 3 different cores, but ignoring depth, i.e. the table below was simply taken as 3 columns giving independent data. Repeat this incorrect analysis. Is the result significant? What might the implications in terms of the conclusion drawn about the concentrations of PAHs and distance from the refinery if this were done? 2. A glaciologist who wanted to compare the weight of sediment deposited per square meter in 2 glacial lakes chose 3 locations at random within each lake and deployed 4 sediment traps at each, using a total of 24 traps. This design is summarized below. The glaciologist said, "I have a 2-factor design, where the lakes are 1-factor and the trap grouping is the 2nd, so I will use a 2-factor ANOVA with replication," unquote. A. Is this appropriate? What analysis would you use for this design?